I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. Good to see you in God's house. And I want to thank you for every prayer that you've prayed for me. It means a great deal to my heart to know you are praying for me. And I trust the Lord, by His grace and mercy, will help me to preach His Word to you tonight in a way that will bless your heart, honor, and glorify our Lord. If you'd like to read along with me tonight, turn to page 179 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles, and it's Colossians chapter 4. There's only four chapters in the book of Colossians. It's the last chapter. I've read in your hearing verses 2, 3, and 4. Our focus verse tonight is going to be verse number 3. And it's only really a part of a longer sentence that's made up of all three verses. But it says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." May the Lord bless and sanctify His word to our heart. May we pray. Our dear God and our eternal Father, glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all the ages, the God in whom we live and move and have our very being, the God who is the source of every good and perfect gift, the God who has loved us and saved us by Thy amazing grace, having chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world and predestinated us to be adopted by Christ Jesus unto Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, the praise of the glory of Thy grace. We thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us. We bow before You and acknowledge You're God, and we're Your children. We've come here to worship and praise You, to adore You as the one who has loved and saved us, filled our hearts with the hope of heaven and glory. And here we are, Lord, just gathered as Your people. Because You loved us, we love You. And because we love You, Father, we've come together. We've laid aside all the cares and interests of life, and we've come to bow before You, to pray to You, to praise You in our hearts, to give You thanks. And Lord, to ask Your blessings, that the Word may go forth in the power and demonstration of Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, bless the lives of Your children here. Send us forth into this sin-darkened world as light shining in the midst of the darkness of sin. So, Lord, help us to be a great witness for Thee. Take Your word to heart. Live it for Your glory each day, and to praise You with our lips at each time of opportunity. Bless, O Lord, those who lead our country by leading them. They have many things, and some are seeking the wrong things. But Lord, what we need are leaders who are led by Your power and Spirit, so that they will know and understand Your will, will have the grace and strength to stand for right against the wrong. So give our leaders courage. Uphold them by Your might and power in that which is right, and bless them for the good of the nation. And Lord, forgive us of our sins now. Have mercy upon us. Comfort the bereaved. Heal the sick. And bless Thy people in all various needs that we have. We praise You for what You've done for us. We pray to You for what we need. And ask our blessings in the name and for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I read that third verse to you, and perhaps you looked at it in the scriptures tonight, did it seem a bit familiar to you? I'm going to flip back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, which I endeavored to preach to you last Sunday night from verse 19. If you want to hold Colossians and turn back to Ephesians 6:19, I think when you look at these two verses, you're going to see a great similarity. And I believe there's a reason for that. The same man, the Apostle Paul, was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit's power, to write the message to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Colossae. And so he said to the Ephesians, and I preached from this last Sunday night, he says, as he prayed, encouraged them to pray for all the saints of God, he said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. There's that word, I mentioned it last Sunday night. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And that little word, mystery, somehow found its way in my heart. I trust it's of the Lord. And as the week has gone along and I've thought about it and meditated upon it, prayed about it and studied about it, I want to try to preach to you tonight about understanding the mystery of Christ. Now that mentions the mystery of the gospel. And I found that there are 22 references to the word mystery in the New Testament. There's 5 references to mysteries in the plural, a total of 27 references to mysteries in the New Testament. And guess how many there are in the Old Testament? Not a single one. It's all together a New Testament word, and there's a reason for that. Because the idea of this mystery, of something that's mysterious, something that is not easily discerned, something that's got to be opened up and made known and revealed to individuals, this is the mystery that the New Testament reveals, that was concealed in the Old Testament but is now revealed in the New Testament. So they didn't think anything in terms of the mystery, but when you get to the New Testament, you begin to think about what was concealed in the old and revealed in the new. It is the mystery of the gospel and the mystery of Christ that is revealed in the New Testament. We're going to look at some of that tonight. Now, there are many things that we're told there's a mystery about. There's a mystery of God. There's a mystery of His will. There's a mystery of His kingdom. Kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And there's a mystery of the Gentiles. Just a lot of different uses of the word mystery. But all of them, I believe, have a connection to this idea tonight that he's talking about the mystery of Christ. Now, as I try to preach this sermon tonight, I'm going to say to you, as he said in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, both are needed. We are to pray and we are to watch. You know, sometimes people come up with the idea, say, well, you know, if I have enough faith, can just quit going to the doctor and just pray about it? Well, I would encourage you, if you got a health problem, pray and go to the doctor. I believe God's revealed these marvelous things that's come to us in modern day medicine, and I believe we're to pray to God for His blessings, but then use that which God has given in the medical field. And this is nothing new now in the Scriptures. What I'm telling you now is not something foreign to the Scriptures. You might think back to the days of Nehemiah. Remember when he had gone back to the Holy Land? They were in the process of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem that had been destroyed. And as they began to work and build that wall back, and the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 4:6 that the people had a mind to work. They were willing to put out the effort and exert the energy and to work on the wall, and a lot of progress was being made. And then you had a number of individuals or people and groups of people that didn't like to see that progress, and so they decided that they would unite together as a common force, and they would exert force. They would come against those who worked on the wall of Jerusalem, and they would fight against them, and they would stop the progress by doing that. You know what Nehemiah said about all those adversaries? He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. You see, it wasn't an either or with Nehemiah. He said, we made our prayer to God first, but then we set our watch to prevent those people from having their way. In other words, we asked God to help us to withstand them and to build back this wall. And God did that. So, pray and watch. And we need to be doing that in the church today. Now, what are we praying for and watching? That is, watching the same with thanksgiving. When we pray to God, we ought to be thankful to God for the blessings He gives. So there's to be prayer, and there's to be watching. There's also to be thanksgiving, thanking God for all the many blessings He bestows upon us. Now, with that in mind, he comes to say, with all praying also for, this time he didn't say for me, he said for us. In Ephesians he said, pray for me. As the Apostle Paul, he wanted them to pray for him. As I said last night, I need you to pray for me. But you're not just to pray for me. You're to pray for all of the ministers of our Lord. And that's what Paul is saying here to the Colossians. Pray for us. All those who are called of God and endeavor to preach God's word, pray for us. We all need your prayers. You can pray for me, Brother Randy at Statesboro, Brother Keith out at Black Creek, just various ministers you know in the area. Just pray for God's ministers, that God would grant unto us a door of utterance. He talked about that. I won't get into that tonight, but to be able to preach, he said that we might have this door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. I want to try to help you to understand something about the mystery of Christ tonight. Now, remember I said a mystery is something that's kind of got to be opened up. Something's got to be revealed to people. If you'll just turn right back with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, you'll see what I'm talking about. Colossians 1, verses 26 and 27 says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, things that had been concealed, things that had been hidden, and he's talking about in ages past and from the generations of the past, but now has been brought to light, brought to knowledge and brought to understanding. So that's what he's telling us. That's the mystery, that which has been hidden from ages and generations, now has been made known. Now, what is it we're talking about when we talk about the mystery of Christ? Well, we're talking about things in particular that pertain to Christ. And there are three of them I'm going to call your attention tonight to. I realize as I say that this is only scratching the surface of the fullness of the mystery of Christ. But I know you don't want to sit through a 2 or 3 hour sermon. Obviously, I can't preach it all in one sermon in one night. But I will try to preach this sermon about some of the things that are part of the mystery of Christ. Now, number one, a holy body. Jesus Christ came into this world with a holy body. You and I did not. No other mortal that has ever been on this earth other than Adam, who fell eventually into sin. No one else other than him, created perfect by God, and Jesus Christ coming into the world without sin. No one else has come into this world without sin. No one else with a pure and holy body. But Jesus did. And we need to understand that when Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, when he says about Christ, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When God inspired Matthew to write those words, he was referring back to something spoken in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 about a virgin bearing a son and calling his name Emmanuel. And so it was hidden from them back there. In Isaiah's day, 750 years perhaps before Jesus Christ was born on this earth, way back in the days of Isaiah, God planted a seed in the garden of time, and they didn't understand it. They didn't know what God was talking about. The ages, the generations that might have had it brought to them, they didn't understand it. It was yet something in the future. It was a prophecy of something to come. It began people watching and waiting. But it wasn't until Jesus came that we understood it. Has a virgin going to bring forth a son? You know, folks, all of us are the product of the union between a man and a woman. That's the way human biology is. That's the way procreation is. But to bring forth a Savior from just a woman, that's a mystery, isn't it? It is so mysterious. A lot of people deny it. They say, well, I just don't see how that could happen. It just doesn't happen. I just don't believe it ever happened because it is so mysterious and they don't have any faith in their heart. They deny it. I can tell you how it happened. I can tell you exactly how it happened. Luke tells us. He said, the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's verse 35 of Luke 1. See, God tells us. It was a mystery back then. They couldn't understand it. They didn't know how it was going to happen. But it did happen. In the fullness, when the fullness of time was come, Paul said to the churches of Galatia, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Not a woman and a man. Made of a woman. Made under the law. Galatians 4 verse 4. See? In God's time. Not man's time. God gave it to His prophet more than 700 years before Jesus was actually born. But in the fullness of God's time. When God was ready. When God was pleased. God caused His Holy Spirit to come upon Mary. And God conceived in her His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was born into this world and laid in a manger. What a wonderful blessing. You know, that's a marvelous thing when you think about it. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Preached unto Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And received up into glory. That's pretty abbreviated form of the great story of Christ, isn't it? God sent His Son. See, He didn't begin when He was born of Mary. He already existed in heaven's glory. The Son had forever been. He was the great power and force in creation. The living incarnate Word. But God sent Him down here to be born of a woman, to be born without an earthly father, so that He would have a holy body uncontaminated by depravity and sin, so that He could then be our suitable Savior, could lay down His life for us, die for our sins and pay our debt. That's the holy body. It's a great mystery. It still is. I still don't know how to explain it any further than I have. I can't go any more in depth than that because that's what God tells us. That's what I know and believe, and I just take it by faith, don't you? Because that's what God said. But it's a mystery. It's the mystery of Christ to have a holy body born of the Virgin Mary. Now, the second thing is, while Jesus was on this earth, He began to talk about something else that's quite mysterious. He talked about being born again. Remember that? Nicodemus, bless his heart, secret disciple, came to Jesus by night for fear of the Jews. Jesus began to talk to him about being born again. And I'm telling you, that man didn't understand anything about it. It was a mystery to him. How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand. It was a mystery to him. Jesus began to explain it like this. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now here's the mystery. And this is what I think was baffling Nicodemus. Can a man be born again without dying? Can he be born again while he's still alive? Quite a mystery. But it does happen. Thank God it does happen. You see, it was prophesied by an ancient prophet named Ezekiel. And he lived just a little under, or something about a little under, 600 years before Jesus came into the world. But God said through the prophet Ezekiel to those who were so caught up in idolatry, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And then he went on to say, and it is that spirit that will cause you to walk in my ways. See, God was talking about something that's going to change a man from the inside out. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. You got an old hard, stony heart. Has no feeling, no sensitivity. But I'm going to take that out of you. And I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a heart that has feeling. A heart of flesh. You know, the flesh does have feeling, doesn't it? I take that little bit of flesh, and if I mash it hard enough and pinch it, it will hurt me. If there's something bit me and it itches and I scratch it, it will feel good. Our flesh has feeling. And God is saying he's going to work from the inside out, and he's going to change us, and we're going to have feeling. Bless God, we do have feeling for him, for his word, for a lot of things, don't we? See, that's what Jesus was talking about, being born again. And of course, Jesus went on to say, you know, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hear a sound thereof, cannot tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind moving invisibly and yet powerfully, feelingly, so the Spirit of God comes. That's what Jesus was talking about. That we're going to be born again, not in a natural way. We were born once with our flesh, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but now it's going to be a spiritual birth. And it has been for those of us who have been born again, haven't we? The Spirit of God, he said, I'll put a new spirit within you. That's what's happened to it. It describes it beautifully, just exactly what's happened. God put a new spirit. What is it? It's his spirit. God said, I'll put a new spirit. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, came into our hearts and changed us. And we became new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, when we're born again, we become a new creature. I'm sure all of us, sometime or another in our life, have witnessed what I'm talking about and what I'm fixing to say. Some individual that lived their life so carelessly and recklessly, with no regard for God or his word or his teachings, just lived after the greed of their own heart. And one day, in God's plan and purpose, God came to touch that person inside with his spirit. And he changed them and made them a new creature in Christ. And it so transformed their life that you could hardly recognize them. You knew it was the same person, but they lived so dramatically different. When once they found pleasure in sin, they now repent of their sins and want to turn from it and walk in the paths of righteousness which honor and glorify the Lord. And once they hated his church and his word, wanted nothing to do with any of it, and then you see the day come when they love God with a passion and love Christ with a purpose, and they want to honor and glorify them with the life they live, and they are faithful in his church and his service. What a change, right? And yet that's the power of this change. When we're born again, it can literally change us into new creatures. in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what Jesus was talking about. And I cannot explain it any further to you than that. It's a great mystery. How a person can be changed from the inside out. They don't have to die to be born again. While they're still living, walking and breathing and eating and sleeping, God can instantaneously change them into a new creature from within. And their whole walk of life is different. All by the power of God's amazing grace. The power of God's Holy Spirit. So we're changed. It's a marvelous mystery. How does that happen? We know it does. We can't really explain it. It's just by faith. We felt it. We believe it. We live it. It's the experience of God's grace. So that's the second thing. Now, that's a great mystery. The third thing is something else that our Lord talked about. There came a time when he would face the cross. It was the ultimate purpose for which he came here. He healed people who were lame, gave sight to the man born blind. He took lepers and healed them, 10 one time. He fed the multitudes. He healed the fever of Peter's wife's mother. I think some 37 or so wonderful miracles were performed by our Lord while he was on this earth. That, my brothers and sisters, is not why he came. That's not why he came. He came for a greater purpose. He came to save us from our sins. He came to die for our sins. The sins that separated us and God came between us, alienated us from God. Just like sin. One sin alienated Adam and Eve from God. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. They couldn't live there. It alienated them from God. It continues to do it. And the multitude of our sins alienate us from God. But Christ came to die and pay for those sins and remove them out of the way. They're no longer an obstacle between us and God. Because when God looks at us, he sees us through the person of Christ and his shed blood and sacrificial death. And that's the third mystery, his death and resurrection. Now, Jesus, as he began to look toward the cross, the ultimate objective of his coming to earth, to die for our sins, the sins of all God's elect, in all ages of time, in all nations of the world, that he would pay our debt collectively there on the cross. As he faced that, he realizes that men will try to kill him. The men will nail his flesh to the cross. They'll nail his hands and his feet. They'll pierce his side with a Roman spear. But they did not take his life. There's great mystery. He said, "No man taketh it from me." That's his life he's talking about now. "No man taketh it from me. But I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And that's John 10:18. So Jesus is talking about laying his life down. Yes, they drove nails in his flesh. Yes, they pierced his side. Yes, they beat his back bloody. Yes, they put a crown of thorns on him. But they could not take his life. He laid it down because he loved us that much. He said, "I'll lay it down and I'll take it up again." That's resurrection. That's resurrection. That he would take it up again. It's great mystery. How did he just say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and float and bow his head and die? How did he do that? I know a lot of folks lying in nursing homes sometimes in their mind, and their bodies are suffering so bad, they're just so ready to go home to the Lord, and they're waiting on God to come and take them, but they can't close their eyes and go home. They're waiting. But you see, Jesus could hang his head, bow his head, release his life out of that body, and then return to give that life, that body, life again. That, folks, is a great mystery to me, how he could do that, but he did it. He laid in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and then on that Sunday morning, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came and he wasn't there anymore. He'd taken that body, he entered it, he had life again. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again." John 11:25. See, We're going to die if he doesn't come first. But we'll live again. The body, as many laid out there in that cemetery and many others across the face of the earth, that body will live again. A lot of people don't understand that. And a lot of people doubt that it's going to happen. But I tell you, by the authority of God's word, we may die, but we will be raised to live again in the resurrection morning. I can't tell you how God will bring it all back together. The body will decay, but God will put it together again. And I know that because His great sovereign power that I mentioned to you this morning, that's the power of God. And He can do that. Paul said this in the great resurrection chapter, and I'm going to connect it to the mystery here. This, I've been talking about about resurrection, but it's the mystery. It's a mystery. Because Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery." There's the word. "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That is, we're not all going to sleep in Jesus, which is termed for death in the New Testament. We're not all going to die, but we're going to be raised. We're going to be changed. Those who are dead will be raised, and those who are alive shall be changed. I show you a mystery. Hard to understand that. We shall not all die, but we're all going to be changed. In a moment. What's a moment? In the twinkling of an eye. We blink our eyes many times in the course of an hour. This is briefer than the blinking of an eye. I might put it this way. It's when the eye first twitches to start the blink. That's the twinkling of the eye. That brief. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. The trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, what God inspired Paul to say, here's a mystery. Our Lord's death and resurrection was a mystery. It's the mystery upon which we hold and hang our hopes for our resurrection. It's a great mystery. How are we going to die? And if we don't die, how are we going to be changed? We can't live in heaven in a mortal body. It's got to become immortal. We can't live in heaven in a corruptible body. It has to become incorruptible. See, our bodies now are mortal. They're also corruptible. It is the corruption of our body that is the aging process of life. When our body begins to weaken, gradually to wrinkle and to gray. And little by little, we watch people change over the years and look in the mirror at our own change. And we know we're passing along through the journey of life. This is corruptible. That's why it's aging. This is mortal. Can't live here. It's forever. It's not immortal yet. But we're going to be changed. The resurrection morning is going to bring about a time where the dead will be resurrected and they're going to be changed. And we're going to be changed. And it's a marvelous truth. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last time, all this will happen. Just less than that. It'll all happen. Can I tell you exactly how and what God's going to do? Can I give you some biology lesson in it? No, can't do that. Like all the rest of the mystery, you'll take it by faith in your heart or you won't have it. And the people who don't take it by faith don't got it. And they use poor English. It's a great mystery, the mystery of Christ. That He would come be born of a virgin named Mary. That He would talk to us about being born again. And that He would also talk to us about the resurrection, which is great mystery. The mystery of Christ, a lot more than that now. Well, misunderstand it. That's not all there is to it. It's much more than that. But that's kind of the mystery in a nutshell to me. And I'll happily share it with you. Now, Bring them back up just briefly. Watching or praying and watching with thanksgiving. Have you got anything to thank God for? Could you count all the blessings you've got? I doubt it. In fact, you're here tonight, something to be thankful for. You still got life. To be among other people who love you, and you love them. We have faith in Christ. That's a blessing, isn't it? Oh, we've got a lot of things to say thank you for. But aren't these some of the best of God's blessings? That we have the Son of God would leave heaven and come and be born of a virgin, live here to die for our sin, let His body be the sacrifice on the altar of the cross to pay our debt. You got anything better to tell me than that to thank God for? I don't know of it. You've been born again? I believe you have. That's something to be thankful to God for. Something no man can give you. And then what about the hope we have? We're on beyond now. To the coming of our Lord and the resurrection. I've got a great hope in that. That's a blessing for which to thank God. In other words, I'm telling you this. Thank God for all your blessings. But don't forget to say, thank you, Lord, for the mystery of Christ. That's our greatest blessings. God bless into your heart and His glory. And that the glory of Jesus is my humble prayer.